Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. A great selection of that pre-owned inventory. A great service department that's there for you, for your current vehicle, and they just simply get it done. Diagnostics, inspections, you name it, they get it done. And a sales staff that's not just there to complete the sale, but to make sure that you have the right vehicle that's right for you and your future at a right price, too. That's why they're the home of a repeat customer. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We got a Pittsburgh-themed show today. Didn't really happen on purpose, but just happened to work out that way. Neil Coulong from USA Today will join us for his normal weekly appearance, recapping the Steelers draft. Did a lot of Eagles talk yesterday, so we'll do a lot of Steelers talk today. Game one, Penguins and Rangers tonight in the Eastern Conference first round getting underway. Josh Getzlaf, the voice of the Pens on the radio, will join us as well. So we got a lot to get into coming up. But we have to start with this, which includes, of course, the now former Pitt wide receiver himself in Jordan Addison, who is officially now going to appear in the NCAA transfer portal by this afternoon. Pete Thamel of ESPN just reported that a little earlier this afternoon. He intends to explore that transfer, and he did get it in before the key May 1st deadline, so he didn't have to worry about a waiver. So he did get it in before that. We weren't sure about that yesterday when we were talking to Steve about this. But he did get it in before that May 1st deadline. So that will result in him appearing in the portal later today. And it sounds like, from what Pete Thamel is reporting, it's not NIL related, but rather it's to put him in a better situation for the NFL. Which, I don't believe that for one split second. Because you've seen plenty of NFL stars come from Pitt. Okay, I don't even need to go down the line. I mean, just look at Kenny Pickett, for example. So, I don't believe that for one second. Of course, he's trying to get to one of these bigger schools, like a USC, or you name it in the SEC right now, including the soon-to-be Oklahoma and Texas. Okay? This is definitely NIL related, because if he gets one of these bigger brands for football, then he's going to get a bigger deal for NIL. We could all see right through this. So stop. He's not going for his best suit in the NFL. Because you can get that at Pitt. And of course they're saying, well, he's not totally a return to Pitt. Could be an option. Stop. He's gone. But he's going for the wrong reason, as we all have talked about yesterday. And just to throw my two cents in with all this, and I've said this before, we forget when it's okay for students to make money for their name, image, and likeness. I don't necessarily care about that. But This kind of stuff that's been happening now, especially with the way the portal's been, this is kind of stuff that I feared. We are definitely forgetting about the student athlete. These players are still student athletes. And this has definitely turned into NFL free agency. It definitely has. And this has to stop. Steve said yesterday on the show, he thinks that this will calm down eventually. I don't know if I see that happening, to be honest with you, unless some sort of rule or legislation comes down. I don't know how this would go. That opens up a whole new can of worms, especially since the NCAA likes to have Washington as its right-hand man to kind of kick all this down the road. So I don't see this happening, this getting better anytime soon. I don't know if it ever will get better, to be honest with you. But that's just me. And this is, Steve said it perfectly yesterday, this was a bad weekend for college sports, and it's gotten worse again. So here you go. He's officially in the portal, and we got ourselves a problem there, Steve Jones.
Yeah, I think that if I recall how the portal works correctly, I think you can file the paperwork, and it's within 48 hours that the name has to appear or something like that.
Correct, because Pete Thamel said in this report that he did get it in before the May 1st deadline.
Right, and then it appears you have within 48 hours to post it. And so we're in that 48-hour window, and so it's posted. Now the question is going to be, how does this turn out? It is up to, if he does, say for example he chooses USC, there's going to be a pressure of people looking and saying, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here? And USC had better make sure that no matter what, that they crossed every T, dotted every I. Right? Because people are now looking with suspicion as to how this is playing out. And I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. Not in the least. I don't know whether they're doing anything wrong. None. But you'll have people looking at them suspiciously. I mean, it's, you know, kind of like how our staff meetings, you know, go. I mean, there's a lot of suspicion looking at the front of the table. No? Is that true? No.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder!
That's right. You guys had to go through that today, didn't you?
Yep, every Tuesday.
Boy, that didn't sound enthusiastic.
I always give you my honest opinion.
Hey, by the way, congrats on the new car. Looks nice.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. Well done. Nice job.
Yes, thank you, Steve. I think we just lost him there on our connection. Yeah, I got that over the weekend. We needed that. It was time for a new bigger car. No question there. Let's see, do we have him back now? Well, we will get Steve back eventually. We have a lot to get to today. We got Neil Coulon, Josh Getzoff all coming up.
There we go.
Oh, here we go. Now we got you back.
No, I just hit it on the side. It's amazing how that works.
Oh, you're right.
You hit it on the side, and, you know. All right. But when I look at the transfer portal, yes, it's playing an influence because there's no question that when student-athletes are being recruited, it's obviously now a topic of conversation. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to get around that. And I've talked enough with Andy Frank. I've talked enough with Dan Caballa. so I can answer that, yeah, it's absolutely coming up. But it seems like, in terms of the perception, that the big money now, in terms of big money in NIL, is happening with the transfer portal. That's at least the idea that I'm getting from it. And that's that's exactly where Addison is right now. And then you look at Isaiah Wong and his situation, which I went through yesterday and chronicled yesterday. It doesn't mean these are bad people. Isaiah Wong, yeah. Now, I have not talked to Adam Fisher, but I'm pretty sure Adam was part of the group that recruited him to Miami. I'm sure if I pull Adam aside and say, hey, you know, well, what kind of kid is this? He probably would tell him he's a great kid and a great family. You know, that's, you know, one of the, you know, it's the kind of individual that a recruiter like Adam, who works hard, is above board. It's the kind of individual he's a, you know, as a recruiter, he's attracted to. Okay. But somebody gave him the advice about going public, about leaving, and so forth. And that's, you know, that's not, you know, now that becomes a big problem. It becomes a huge problem. And then it becomes public. And then in becoming public, it becomes an issue because I think it was Denzel Pack. He got a hold of John Ruiz because he transferred from Kansas State to Miami and he got $800,000 over 2 years plus a car. And it was the same incentives we used to keep Matt, $800,000 in over 2 years plus a car. We saw evidence of the car in the driveway last night. I just, I'm a little, you know.
Oh, my almighty!
Don't think I didn't put two and two together on that one, sport. Come on. Come on. But, you know, that, you know, but again, what was Denzel Pack? Transfer. What's Isaiah Wong? Current player. Didn't transfer. But then threatened to transfer because, you know, I need a better deal. Well, okay. That is something that, boy. And you wonder about tampering. And I'm not saying anybody's tampering here, but boy, you sure do wonder about it. Jack Ham and I were talking this morning. And I'm not going to throw a name out there, but for example, there was a player that was in the portal. We think the player was in the portal, the two of us, about 12 hours before he committed to the next school. And two of us are looking like, really? That fast? Okay. And then you get to a situation like this. And you wonder, you know, that before a guy gets into the portal, is he, what, you know, what are his representatives hearing? I mean, I go back to a year ago, and this is not out of school. I've talked about this on the air before. But, you know, we all know that the predicament Penn State was in basketball-wise a year ago, right? On October 24th, Patrick Chambers resigned. Jim Ferry's the interim coach. And look, and Dick Girardi and I are around this team all the time. We're around them all the time. We talk to the coaches. We talk to everybody. All right, you don't think those players weren't being contacted during the season? If not weekly, sometimes daily, about, hey, you know, and it may have been in a roundabout way. It may be it had been through a contact with somebody related to whatever, but they were getting contacted. They were getting contacted about transferring during the season when they're playing here. You don't think that's not happening? Don't be naive. And now the stakes are even higher because a year ago, money would not have been involved. NIL didn't exist a year ago in terms of, you know, it was talked about, but it didn't exist. Now it exists. And now we're hearing What about this deal? Hey, offered six figures to go here, offered seven figures to go here. It's a bidding war. Like, bidding war. It's a bidding war. All right, we'll update the TV deal with the Big Ten in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Dan, I'm proud that we've added to that room. There was 4 trophies. There was 4 when we got here, and you knew the task. You think about DMR? Being able to add to that room means a ton. It doesn't mean it's over. The next step, we gotta get more than. And we'll never lose that. But it means a lot.
I have no idea who that was and what it was about.
Oh, that was Kevin Colbert.
Oh, yeah, I had no idea. Am I supposed to guess? I realize most of the time I get it right, but... Well, that's an organization that has more than one Super Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're correct.
Was I factually incorrect? No.
No.
No. Okay, Josh Getzoff. The Penguins begin the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight with the New York Rangers. The Rangers beat them 3 out of 4 in the regular season. See how it plays out starting tonight. We'll talk with Josh next half hour. Neil Coulong on the Steelers draft.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee and a service department that backs it all up. It really makes it one-stop vehicle shopping. They take care of the life of the vehicle. Inspections, routine, diagnostics, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. So today was the day I felt like I needed to make sure I had my grades in for the spring semester, and I had 15 students in my class. Okay. So I'm going through and I'm doing the grades, and the first thing that pops up is grades now for 16 students. I think it's 16 students. So I go back through my records. I said, let me just count here. Boom, 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 boom. I got 15. There's a listing for a student that was... wasn't on the original list, now appears on the list, and I'm looking around thinking, how the heck do I handle this?
So
I put a grade in. I put NG in. No grade. Okay. And the message keeps coming back to me. You must have grades for everybody. And by the way, NG is a legitimate. It's on the grading system. NG is a legitimate grade. I'm thinking, what the heck? Well, then I had to hit something that said, now you need to review your work. And then another box comes up as to why the person didn't get a grade. And, of course, I put down never attended class. That normally is a way not to get a grade. Don't attend. Obviously, somebody signed up, and either they didn't do drop ad correctly or whatever. But I'm sitting there. For 10 minutes, I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing here? I'm just trying to submit. Can't submit. Submit. Can't submit. I can't submit. You got to be kidding me. All right. Because I didn't need to review. Because I didn't think I had to review the grades because I meticulously went through and gave each one the grade. Like, okay. All these little technical things you have to do these days. All with computers. But yeah, check mark, another semester finished. I do not teach in the summers, by the way. Back, I think the next class I teach is August 22nd, something like that. All right. So, let's get to hockey. We're in an interesting time in sports. And the interesting time in sports is I feel like, except for football, you feel like everything, if you had to be a diehard to really follow the regular season of any sports team, you got to be a diehard. Because most people get really engaged when the playoffs come around. Usually the last, like from the end of the Super Bowl to the end of the NCAA tournament, so that spans about 6 weeks. Okay, college basketball. Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs, you know, everybody gets really engaged. You know, for some reason, while our play-by-play call today, I thought it would be a Tyler Hero three-point shot, but I guess we're just too upset about last night to play it, etc. I mean, there are other teams besides the Yankees out there. You do know that.
I'm aware.
The Yankees, by the way, who perfected the Jordan Addison recruitment. No.
They might have. I don't know.
Yeah, we can buy the guys. Great. Yeah, way to go. Okay. So let's get to Josh Getzoff, who does a great job with the Pens as their play-by-play voice. Josh, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, great to be with you again. Always enjoy catching up with you. So happy to be on with you today.
All right. So here we are now to the end. And what the Rangers looks like, it'll eventually be the matchup before it's all said and done. And on this show, by the way, Josh, there's a lot more said than done. So where, what is the status of Tristan Jarry right now?
It's pretty close to the vest from the Penguins' perspective, Steve, as far as where he is and where he's tracking towards returning to this Penguins lineup. What I know is this. Mike Sullivan told us this morning that he is rehabbing. And that's actually the first kind of update that we've gotten as far as Tristan is concerned. Sullivan said it matter-of-factly as if we should all have assumed that that was the case, but that was really the first spoken update as far as where he was in the progress. I'm not sure if that rehabbing means that he's on the ice skating and taking shots or if that rehabbing is something of the off-ice nature to get himself in an ability to get back on the ice. But I just do not see a scenario where he's the goalie in game one. I know I'm not speaking anything there that's rocket science or groundbreaking, but if he's not on the ice right now and they're opening the postseason in less than a week, it's just hard for me to believe he'll be ready to go for game one.
Now, let's just take now as another step further, though. Because of how Mike Sullivan handled his goalies, Casey DeSmith got a fair amount of work this season. I feel like that's the payoff right here, Josh.
Absolutely. And here's one thing. I'll take that one step further. I think Casey DeSmith has very quietly played extremely well since Tristan Jarry has gone down. And this is a guy that you have to remember, and I know your listeners know this because they're knowledgeable people, but this is a guy that started in the ECHL. He was undrafted. He had to work his way through some off-ice issues, made his name with Wheeling in the ECHL, got an opportunity to play in Wilkes-Barre in the AHL, carved out a path there with Tristan Jarry, ironically enough, shared the Hap Holmes Award, which is, you know, the best goaltending duo statistically in the American League. And then he got a crack in Pittsburgh, and he took advantage of it, and he earned himself a three-year deal a few years back, and he's on the last year of that deal. So this is kind of a twofold thing right now, is that anytime Casey's had an opportunity to seize something, he has in his hockey career. It hasn't mattered the level. And, you know, to that point, he's faced 147 shots in the four games he's played with Jarry out of the lineup.
Yep.
He stopped 139 of them. That's a .946 save percentage. So he's been very good. I would say that's an elite number as far as the save percentage is concerned for Casey DeSmith. And don't forget, as I mentioned too, he's a free agent after this year. So if he goes into the playoffs and he has a really, really strong showing, all of a sudden his stock goes up. And there's not anything to be lost in that as part of the equation as well.
Anybody who can survive Wheeling and make it to the show, okay by me. All right. Sidney Crosby. Yeah, usually, a lot of times when I do these, I don't really bring his name up because he's so much of a given. But you look at the body of work, the steadiness of his career, to me, equals greatness. How steady has he been the last month for them?
Oh, I mean, he's been steady. He's been consistent. He's been dominant. He's just been Sidney Crosby. That's kind of what we've expected from him. And you're right. It's almost something that you don't bring up all the time because you've come to expect it, which shows just how spoiled we all are with respect to how good Sid is and how consistent he is in all levels and facets of the game. You know, I think back to this year when he was sitting on 499 goals in those couple of games. And there was the goaltender pulled, and I don't think anyone would have blamed him if he was chomping at the bit to get the puck down the ice in the empty net, but he's out there blocking shots and defending in his own zone, and I just think that comes back to me so much as far as the type of player that he is. And that's not to say that he could have easily shot the puck into the other net. He could have, but his first concern was his team getting the win and doing what he needed to do to put himself in a position to help his team win the game. And if that, at that moment, called for him to be in his own zone blocking a shot, he was doing it. He could care less about going down to the empty net and getting a milestone goal, which is a pretty significant milestone at that. So, I mean, I think about that moment. I just think about the way that he's led this team, you know, missing, what, the first handful of games, having COVID right after he came back and then missing another stretch of games, really probably not hitting his stride, Steve, until the second week in November. And, you know, he's going to finish this year most likely, unless Jake Guentzel, which is possible, has a big night tonight. He's probably going to lead the team in points at the end of this year. He's got 84 in 68 games, so he's got another point per game season.
Yeah.
He's over the 30-goal mark. I don't know what else you can say about him. It's just, if there's a Mount Rushmore for me, it's how is he not on it? I know I have a bias, you know, with the Penguins Alliance and everything with that, but this is a guy that is just, you know, been labeled as great from the second he was drafted and put in the NHL, and he has lived up to the billing and then some.
Yeah, I mean, he has put together an incredible career. Now, was there times he had to be out because of the concussions? I got it, but the guy still plays, and not only that, he plays hard. I mean,
right.
You're talking about, this is not somebody, I always appreciate the great ones who don't take their talent for granted. Sidney Crosby, I think, fits that mold.
Oh, 100% agreed. And I think that is such a true statement, that he doesn't take it for granted, and he actually probably isn't ever comfortable with where he's at either. I mean, you watch him in practice, he's always out there. We had some younger kids in town this past week watching practice, and they were chatting me up while the Penguins are out there, and I mentioned him. I said, watch him. I mean, this is a guy that is the best player on the planet, and he's out there before everybody else, and all he's doing is shooting, but there's something behind it. He's practicing something, and if you watch closely enough, he might just do it in the next game and score a goal that way. And that's kind of how he's struck me, just watching him firsthand here over the better part of the last decade. He's just an incredible player, an incredible person, and an amazing ambassador for the game.
All right, so Josh, now you go in this. What are a couple of areas that need to be cleaned up so they have a cleaner postseason?
Well, the first thing for me is just the attention to details in the defensive zone. And I know a lot of people are going to say that, and they'll say details in the game, and the game's details. And it's like the buzzword of hockey, and you'll hear it from coaches. What that means from the Penguins' perspective is they need to be more of aggressors towards the men with the puck as opposed to watching the men with the puck. They need to make sure that they have their gaps covered in their defensive end. They need to know what the numbers are around them in their own zone when teams are coming in on the attack. And I think more importantly, they need to be a little bit more physical in front of their own net, because that's going to change come next week in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Whether you're playing Florida and you got your old buddy Patrick Hornquist or Alexander Barkov or some of these big bodies that are not afraid to go to the blue paint, or you're playing New York that has Chris Kreider who's going to wreak havoc in that area as well, you need to have the mentality that they cannot go in there freely, and they need to understand that that's going to be coming at a cost to get in that area. And I think that's a part of the Penguins game they need to shore up. I'm not necessarily sure that they'd be able to do that tonight against Columbus because it's not that type of an opponent or atmosphere.
Right.
But if you're looking at something that they need to focus on, for me, that's huge. And another thing that's kind of crept slowly back into a negative for them, I was actually not even aware of it, to be honest with you, until I was doing some prep this afternoon for the game tonight, is the penalty kill.
Yeah.
They gave up two power play goals against Edmonton on Tuesday night. And the second of those two was in the third period, was kind of the dagger to make it a 3-1 game, and you just felt like they probably weren't going to come back from that. But they've allowed a goal in three straight on the penalty kill. And that's the first time that's happened in this season. I mean, they've been, as you know, right now they're third in the NHL on the kill, but top one, two, three pretty much all year. So that, to me, speaks to a little bit of a slip in a defensive mindset. And that is also, you know, an overall theme that you want to have locked into the right direction come to the Stanley Cup playoffs. The power plays won't be as abundant, but the defensive philosophy and mindset will be. And that's something that I think they'll need to be zeroed in on.
Any concerns about the way Malkin finished the season?
Not entirely. I think, you know, with Evgeny Malkin, there are a few factors at play here. One is, when you look at the numbers, he's still got 40 points in 40 games.
Yeah, he did. His numbers are great. I'm looking at him thinking, okay, is he showing a little bit of the age here at some point?
I think it's fair to say, and I don't think I'm speaking out of line here, that Evgeny Malkin is, I mean, I'm not also breaking any news here, but he's not the player that he was a handful of years ago, and that's going to happen when you have multiple knee surgeries and you're, you know, through some long playoff runs, and also on top of it all, in the case of Malkin at least, you're 35 years old.
And you know what? Your savvy some kind of times can make up for that, which I think with him it does.
Absolutely. And this is also a guy that, I mean, there's a few of them on this Penguins roster. I would put Jeff Carter in this category.
Yes.
I would put, you know, even though Crosby's the same way in the regular season, I'd put him in this category that they know when the playoffs start. And they get a little bit of a jump in their step when the playoffs start. And I think Evgeny Malkin will get that because, you know, let's be honest, we don't know what the next few months hold, beyond what the next few months hold for him with the Penguins. Ditto for Chris Letang, Brian Rust. There's some decisions to be made here. So I do think, and I was watching him this morning, it's kind of interesting, the Penguins had an optional skate this morning. And Gino's taken a lot of the optional skates. He's been out there for those. But there's only about six or seven guys that skated this morning, which is not that uncommon this late in the season. But he was one of them. And he was kind of out there late just messing around and shooting. And I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, he's kind of savoring the moment right now. He's taking this all in. He's being out there a little bit longer. He's doing what he needs to do to get himself ready to be in the best position possible come the playoffs. And I think he will be. Are there deficiencies in his game right now? For sure. But, you know, I do think these guys, they realize what's at stake. They realize that they are as big of any pieces that are going to dictate what the Penguins end up doing in the playoffs. So I do think he'll be ready to go.
I know you're ready to go, and I really appreciate on game day that you gave us a few minutes of your time today, Josh. Always a pleasure, and again, great respect for your work.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. It's always great to jump on with you guys, and maybe we could do it again in the playoffs. So I'm available.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait to talk about it, too. We'll talk about the playoffs all you want.
All right. Sounds like a plan to me.
Doug Birdsong texted me. And he said, great. He says, Now Matt's making you play, you know, guess who the soundbite is. I said, well, I texted Doug back. I said, well, it's sort of like when the Suit starts the broadcast by saying, "This is really cool. Who are we playing?" All right, so. Okay.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Oh, my goodness. You can't accuse us of not having fun here. We do have fun.
Absolutely.
We do have fun here. So Jordan Addison's officially in, the wide receiver from Pitt. Now the question is going to be to where? You know, and even a friend of his did say that it's not out of the question he goes back to Pitt. Okay, that's fine. But I think there's, if he goes to USC, it would, to be honest with you, that would raise a ton of eyebrows. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to pretend I have any idea. He's a very talented player. But like so many players in college football, you know how many times I saw Jordan Addison play this past season? Twice. I think I saw him in the ACC title game. But the ACC title game was opposite the Big Ten championship game, so I didn't see much of the ACC title game. And I saw some of the game he played in the Peach Bowl, Michigan State, and Pickett wasn't playing. Well, he didn't have a great game that night, in part because Pickett wasn't playing. And you wonder if this has something to do with him moving out because maybe he's not enamored. Now, Keaton Slovis did transfer, by the way, from USC to Pitt. But maybe he's not enamored with the quarterback play. I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody's talked to him. It's interesting. CBSSports.com put out its top 10 current players in the portal. The number two guy, Addison's one, was Brew McCoy. Brew McCoy? I think he committed to USC, then he committed to Texas, back to USC, now he's in the portal. That's a guy you want?